Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm your teacher, Josh, and we're glad you've joined us on this 23rd day of March 2015. I'm in the studio with two panelists who are excited to talk about our sports article this month entitled The Mission to Make Football Safer. I have Lois and Brandon here. Lois, have you watched any American football in your life?
I have watched some American football in my life because I now have a son-in-law who's a real sports fan and really enjoys American football. So, and a little bit before that, following the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, okay. They're the closest NFL team to Toronto.
Yes, to
right?
Toronto. But I, as you know, was a CFL fan, so that stands listeners for the Canadian Football League.
Oh, Canada has their own version of American football.
Well, a little different. We make our men run more.
Okay.
Bigger field.
Hmm.
Less downs. I think a little bit more action because it doesn't get stopped as much.
Is there hard hitting like there is in
yes,
America?
Yes, very hard hitting.
It is a violent game.
It's very hard hitting, and a lot of parents won't let their sons or daughters play the sport anymore at a young age, at least.
And we have Brandon here in the studio. Hi, Brandon.
Hello, everyone. Great to be back in the studio.
And you're a football fan, right?
I am. I like college football more than the NFL, but I am a football fan. I've never played, but I like to watch it.
And football, remember, this is different than soccer, right? And around the world, the word football usually means soccer.
That's a really good point. Yeah, a lot of people will use soccer as a term for you use with your feet mostly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here we're talking about American football, which is very different.
That's right. Meishi Gan Lanxiu, which is a fun game. You can see a picture of it there on page 34. It doesn't have to be violent, right? You can play it in your backyard with some kids.
Yeah, I used to play every Sunday afternoon after church. I used to play either touch football or flag football.
Okay, describe those games.
Okay, well, touch football was you were playing with the football, like this picture on page 34, and somebody would either touch you or pull the flag out of your pocket, maybe your jeans pocket or whatever kind of pants you were wearing, and now the play stopped and it changed, and I don't know. I think a lot of us girls didn't know what we were doing, but we were having a great time.
It's not just girls. Boys play touch football too.
Right. Yeah.
It's fun. You're running, passing, throwing the ball, catching it, making touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. It's much safer than the traditional football. Yeah.
So the traditional way of playing is wearing pads and these big helmets and tackling each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the heart of our issue here today, are the violent tackles in football.
That's right, and at least they do have some padding. I think of rugby where they really don't have anything, right? So you have different ends of the spectrum, or you have the touch football, which mm-hmm. is quite safe, and then you have rugby, which is not very safe, and in between you kind of have this American football, which is also quite dangerous, but they do have some protection.
That's right. Rugby is a very popular sport. That's Meishi Gan Lanxiu, and it's actually very different than American football.
They don't hit the same way. It's not that my son played rugby a lot, and actually he played it for Taipei American School, and I found it less concerning than American or Canadian football.
Did he get injured at all?
Oh, yes, he got injured, but he did for I think they call it the scrums, he did wear those very heavy fabric helmets they wear.
Okay.
Yeah, he would wear that. That protects your ears of all things.
Mm. Well, we're on pages 34 and 35 in your March magazine. And what does our deck say, Brandon?
Well, it says Carnegie Mellon University punter starts company to research helmet safety.
Hmm. What do you think our article will be about from that deck?
Well, it's going to be about research, I guess, and talking about why we should have safer helmets.
So this is the punter on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Punter, I think, is also a term from rugby.
Right.
But
right.
In the NFL, in football, it's the person that kicks the ball to the other team when you haven't made a first down.
Right. It's in our specialized terms, Josh. So that's very helpful because a lot of our readers and listeners might not know American football that well. So it says a punter in football, the person who kicks the ball after it has been deliberately dropped and before it touches the ground.
Right. That's the style of punting. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the strategy of punting, it's when you give the ball back to the other team because you can't advance it any further.
That's right.
And this is, you know, a position that's actually not very violent. It's kind of ironic that this guy wants to solve the issue of concussions in the NFL or in football where the punter actually doesn't usually get hit.
That's right. That's an interesting point. Maybe he has more time to observe because he's on the sidelines most of the time.
That's true. And also, Carnegie Mellon is, as we'll learn in this article, not a football school.
It was an unusual name to me, Mellon in the name. Is it somebody's, are there two last names, Carnegie
yes,
Mellon?
Yes, of course, yes.
Okay.
Dale, the famous Carnegie investor and Mellon, these were banking titans Pennsylvania in the 1800s.
Well, and I think this sort of makes sense, Josh, because they are smart people here at this university, and they have time to work on research. As we'll learn more about this in our article, they're not really focused on football as much as some universities are. A lot of players would just be focused on improving their game and not so concerned about the safety of the game.
That's right. Andrew Carnegie was
right.
The founder of Carnegie
Hall. So Carnegie Hall in New York City then.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. We're going to ask Lois to read our lesson today, and we'll start where you see the 23.
The mission to make football safer. Carnegie Mellon University punter starts company to research helmet safety. During the first Carnegie Mellon University football practice of the 2013 season, three players received concussions, one of which eventually ended a player's career on the gridiron. That practice inspired starting punter Thomas Healy, who is also a mechanical engineering graduate student, to begin researching preventative measures for the head injuries plaguing his teammates. Obviously, we're not an NFL-oriented program, Healy said. We're scholars first, so the main focus is to protect our brains and allow us to be academically successful throughout the year.
Thank you, Lois. So we are out on the football field at Carnegie Mellon University, and some players got hurt, right, Brandon?
That's right, and they received concussions, and a concussion is just simply, it's a temporary injury to the brain, and this happens often when you play sports.
That's right. In football, you're tackled with the ball and knocked to the ground. It might be your helmet hitting the ground. It might be another player's helmet hitting your head. But this word concussion, we should probably talk about it. It's used to describe lots of different types of brain injuries, right?
Right, right. And it's also because of what you've just mentioned, it is in our specialized terms. And concussion, usually it's a temporary injury to the brain caused by a fall or hit on the head or violent shaking. Now, you men here at the table, have either one of you had concussions?
I have not.
No, I haven't either. I did play football, and I got hit pretty hard.
Okay.
But no, I have had a good friend recently that was just playing Ultimate Frisbee with some friends and took on somebody's knee to his head. And he went to the doctor, and they labeled it a mild head injury.
Wow.
Just a mild concussion. And he had headaches and blurry vision, and it took him 2 months to recover from
2 months,
a
really?
Mild concussion.
Wow.
And his comment to me was, what does a severe concussion feel like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It must be incredible.
Both my children have had concussions. Either, I think both of them were, maybe one wasn't a teenager, but one certainly was. And I remember because our son was at camp and we got a call. We'd been out for the evening, got a call back when everybody had answering machines. All of a sudden, our son was in hospital with a concussion, but everything was okay, but it was a bit frightening.
That's right. It could be, like I said, blurry vision, headaches, sometimes you're in a fog, they say, for weeks on end. Well, this was something that certainly affects your football career. In fact, it ended a player's career where?
Well, we see here on the gridiron, which is another term for the football field. And so this was a very serious concussion. Josh, you were just talking about someone received a mild concussion and they had problems for 2 months. Well, this one actually ended this player's career.
And that's happening a lot in football. People are deciding to retire, to stop playing, because the risk of future concussions is greater once you've had one.
Right. You're hearing about it, Josh, now at the high school level, the college level, and, of course, the professional level.
Mm-hmm. There was a player that committed suicide last year, and people say that was brought on. His depression was brought on by the severe concussions he had over his career. It's terrible. So that practice of receiving a concussion and then, actually it was the football practice where his friend got hurt, inspired the star of our story, the punter, Thomas Healy, to begin researching measures to prevent it from happening. And he's not just a punter, right, Brandon?
That's right. He is also a mechanical engineering graduate student. Of course, mechanical engineering, you're studying the design and production of machines. And so he's a smart guy. And so he knows how to do the research. And so he was interested in this because he saw a need.
And that happens in college football. Players actually sit out their first year quite often, and they end up taking lots of classes. So many of them earn a bachelor's degree and a graduate degree before they finish their football careers.
Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So he has been putting his degree to good use, and he begins thinking about how to avoid concussions. And what does he say in line 10, Lois, about the football program at Carnegie Mellon?
Well, he tells us something maybe some of us don't know. Obviously, we're not an NFL-oriented program, Healy said. We're scholars first, so the main focus is to protect our brains and allow us to be academically successful throughout the year. So he's meaning throughout the school year and obviously beyond that, too.
And I used a phrase at the opening, a football school. And that just means it's a school that's known for its football program, right?
That's right. They really focus on it, and they take pride in their program.
You think of Nebraska or Tennessee or USC, not Carnegie Mellon.
That's right. That's why he says here this is not their main focus. They are scholars first. They're focused on their studies, and that's what they're really there for, and they want to be academically successful, and so they need to protect their brains.
That's right. I was surprised they even had a football team.
Some
of these schools, right, they don't even field a team because it's just too much effort, too much budget. But even MIT has a football team.
Wow,
did you know that?
I didn't.
I don't think they're very good, but they have a team.
Well, America is a football-focused nation. I think that's the most popular sport there, and so it doesn't surprise me in some ways that most any school would have football because so many people like football.
They sure do. Well, let's ask Lois to continue our lesson. We'll read at line 14.
Fast forward 1 year and Healy's research has evolved into the launching of a company, Head Smart Labs, which aims to improve head injury research methods and helmet testing. The company encompasses 4 areas of research: helmet inflation, the shell of the helmet, outfitting players with accelerometers implanted in their helmets to measure the impact of received hits, and using that information to replicate impact hits that happen on the field in the laboratory.
So we're going to move ahead in time. It says fast forward 1 year. So we're speeding ahead from that football practice where Thomas Healy's friend was injured. And now we're in the lab.
That's right. And we see that Healy has actually launched a company. It's called Head Smart Labs. And so we can see that this young man has goals, and he even started his own company. And so I think that says a lot about what he's trying to do.
And what is the aim of Head Smart Labs, Lois?
Okay, the aim is to improve head injury research methods and helmet testing. And you know, it's interesting, if any of our readers want to look it up about Head Smart, I went to www.headsmartlabs.com or www.headsmart.com. Very interesting. And you get to watch some video, and you get to be more educated on the subject.
Mm-hmm. And they're two very different things they're trying to do, right? How to diagnose and gauge the severity of a head injury, as well as the football helmets technology.
That's right. The football helmets, they're able to be inflated, and so that means that you use a pump to put air into them, and that's helping to protect your head. But what's happening with a lot of the helmets is the valve where you put the air into, they're leaking air. And they, as Lois mentioned, you can watch a video about this on their website. They use some soapy water to test whether or not the helmets are leaking air. This is a big problem with a lot of the helmets, which of course, if it's leaking air, then it's not going to protect you as well.
And there's been a problem in high school, college, and pro football of helmets flying off.
Yes.
Due to big hits.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think some of the kids just like the style of kind of the loose helmet, and they don't put their chin strap on because it looks cooler that way. And so the referees are now penalizing people whose helmet flies off. You have to go sit out play if you lose your helmet.
Which can affect the game, so it gives you a little bit of incentive or motivation to wear your helmet properly.
And hopefully, if you're still at home, your parents are giving you lots of incentive to keep that helmet on and properly secured.
So it says they're focused on four areas. Brandon talked about inflation. And then the shell of the helmet is important, right, Lois?
Right.
It's that material, that outer material the helmet is made of. It's great because it protects, but it's also a weapon, too, as people use to spear each other and to bring the player down.
And you want it nice and hard, and it's not going to break or crack. It really has to be durable.
And then there's another interesting portion of their research, Brandon, this idea of putting technology in the helmets.
That's right. They're outfitting players with accelerometers. And this is an instrument that measures the acceleration or and also measures vibrations. And so they're actually wearing this, and this will help them do their research. They'll see, you know, when they were hit, you know, the impact of that, and this helps them know what protection is needed for the players.
You probably have an accelerometer right in front of you right now if you have a tablet on your desk. Tablets are what? Accelerometers help tablets determine whether it's portrait or landscape and size the image.
Hmm. I didn't know that. I went and looked it up on Wikipedia, what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
And some of our listeners might want to do that because I wanted to have a better idea what we were talking about, but I didn't realize that, Josh.
Well, they're implanted, it says, to measure the impact of these hits. And hitting is a big part of football. It doesn't mean punching someone, right?
No, you're constantly being hit in football because there's tackling involved, and you're being hit when you're tackled.
Yeah, you're running at a high speed, and someone's coming at you at a high speed, and there's these violent collisions to get the man to the ground.
That's right.
And so that is something that I think a lot of companies, not just Head Smart, are looking at. What are the results? What's the impact from taking hit after hit and hitting the ground? Like I said, oftentimes it's your helmet that hits the ground first as a running back.
Right.
And that can be dangerous. And they're trying to actually replicate the impacts of that in the laboratory.
Right.
So some interesting work being done by the Carnegie Mellon punter. Well, let's look a little bit deeper into Head Smart Labs as we ask Lois to read. We're now moving to our second column.
Initial stages. The company is testing the use of a helmet pump with CMU players and how different inflation levels of pads inside the helmet reduce impact when players are tackled. The first step we have to do is get players to start using inflation, Healy said. Players aren't really thinking about that before they go on the field, and that really needs to be part of the conversation. When they do, We want our research to be able to say, here's how much you should be inflating it to. The accelerometers would be placed inside the helmets of starting players and capture information about hits the players receive and which impacts cause concussions. It would then transmit impact information to a computer on the sideline. The development team has had talks and is looking to partner with CMU and University of Pittsburgh football teams to implement the research.
Thank you, Lois. Well, the title of our next section indicates that it's still pretty early at HeadSmart Labs, right?
Right. It says initial stages, so that's just getting started in many ways.
And the company is testing the use of the helmet pump with Carnegie Mellon players and how the different inflation inside the helmet might help reduce concussions. So I wonder if that makes the helmet any heavier.
Oh, yeah, it might, but I would guess it wouldn't be too bad. Otherwise, that wouldn't be very comfortable to wear.
Right. You're running this enormous weight on your head.
Right. That might affect your game.
We're hoping it doesn't weigh as much as a concrete block, right?
Right. Well, it says the first step we have to do is get players start using inflation.
Mm.
So inflation, this idea of pumping air into the helmet, is something some players just don't do.
Right. And, you know, when I saw this word inflation, I was like, man, I always think of the word inflation as something to do with money.
Right.
But this time it has nothing to do with money because we hear it so much on the news, especially if you're watching the financial news.
Mm-hmm. But you might have a soccer ball or a basketball in
right.
your house that doesn't have air in it.
So it needs to be inflated.
Right.
Right.
But you probably don't think about inflation.
No.
What's the
right.
air levels of all my
right.
balls?
Yes. Yeah. You just bounce it and see if it has enough air and put more air in it if you need to. But I think here we see that, you know, a lot of players, they don't want to use inflation probably because they don't want to take the time to do it, or they think, oh, it doesn't really matter. Who cares?
It's not a part of the conversation. And that's a good phrase, right, Lois?
Yes.
Just meaning when you want something to become part of the conversation. What does that mean?
Well, you want to maybe introduce it so that people will start talking about it. And maybe when it's something really important, you want it to dominate the conversation.
Mm, good point. So when they do, when players start making this a habit, they want their research to be able to say what, Brandon?
Here's how much you should be inflating it to. So they want people to know enough about this that they even know the levels of inflation that should be there so they can protect their heads.
And we don't talk about what those markers or numbers might be, but there's probably a gauge, right?
Right. And, you know, when I was reading this, I was thinking this whole inflation of something, an object, is also important to race car drivers with their tires.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to a transport truck drivers with their tires. And it's important to airline pilots with their tires.
Interesting.
So it's interesting how it crosses over to transportation, but also here we're thinking of the word in sports.
Well, we're moving to our last section here of the article on page 34. And we're going to now talk about the accelerometers inside the helmets. And who would be wearing those, Brandon?
Well, the starting players would be wearing those, and this would enable them to capture information about hits the players receive. And also, they want to see which impacts actually cause concussions. So this would be very useful for them. So in the lab, they would go over this and make adjustments, I'm sure, and make recommendations for helmet companies as well as football teams.
Yeah, because there's a lot of different types of hits. There's that head-on collision I talked about. There might be your head just bouncing off the turf. There might be, you know, a way you were sacked as the quarterback, to introduce a fun football term, sack, S-A-C-K, when you bring the quarterback down. So if there's a way that the coaches, when they're watching the game, can understand, oh, wow, that particular hit might have caused more damage than another, they can be more attentive to the player.
Right, right.
I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would transmit information to a computer. And this is where it gets strange to me, Brandon. Computers don't belong on the sideline.
In this day and age, computers are everywhere, Josh.
So they're going to send information. What is it going to be, brain waves?
Well, it's going to be transmitted. I don't know exactly. They're just going to somehow... Well, everything uses Wi-Fi technology these days, right? And so I'm sure that can be just somehow easily transmitted to the sideline computers.
There you go. Bluetooth helmets.
Right. That's what I was thinking, Bluetooth helmets.
He could be checking his email while he's playing football. Well, the sideline. What's that, Lois?
Okay, the sideline. That's in our specialized terms. It's just a word we don't hear a lot. It means in some sports... It's especially football, a line marking the side of the area of play. So you might be sitting out on the sideline or sidelines.
And you're watching the games where the coaches or the players who aren't in the game are standing. And this technology is going to be introduced at CMU and also at a football school, right?
That's right, the University of Pittsburgh.
And that's the Panthers, and they've had lots of NFL players come from that school, and they're looking to implement or introduce, put in practice.
Right, that's a vocabulary focus word, implement, to put a plan or system into operation. And I have definitely heard of the University of Pittsburgh and their Panthers. Mm-hmm. They're a big football school.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, we hope you've learned a little bit about football. We're going to continue our discussion of the science of concussions tomorrow. So we hope you'll be with us then. Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.